We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, when we started Proof to Product in May 2017, I had no idea what an amazing journey we were embarking on. Over the last year and a half, we've told almost 100 startup stories. These are stories from entrepreneurs just like you who are making physical products. We have talked about successes and struggles, mindset shifts, and the importance of taking action to reach your goals. Now, we're quickly approaching our 100th episode of Proof to Product, and we want to do something special to celebrate all of you, our listeners. We want to hear your story and share it with our audience. So to participate, head over to bit.ly/PTP100 and leave us a voicemail message telling us how Proof to Product has helped you in your business. Be sure to leave your name and your company name so that we can link you in our show notes too. And that's all lowercase, bit.ly/PTP100. Thank you so much for listening and sharing Proof to Product with your friends. I look forward to hearing and sharing your story. Hey everyone, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Proof to Product, and welcome to our podcast. Today I sat down with Tracia Bootcamp alumni Emily Marks. She runs Karina Paper Co. out of Akron, Ohio. On today's episode, Emily talks about how she left her job with a major accounting firm about a year ago to pursue her business full time. She talked about how her position as a forensic accountant has helped her in her business now. We also talked about being in a state of discomfort and how that can provide space for personal growth. And finally, Emily shares how she does strategic planning and project management for her business. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Katie. Glad to be here.
I'm excited to chat with you. Before you were a stationery designer and business owner, you worked with a major accounting firm as a forensic accountant, which is such a different industry and, you know, day-to-day work. What led you to make the jump to stationery?
So I started off kind of like a lot of people in the industry. I did my own wedding invitations and really enjoyed it. And then from there, did friends invitations and all of that stuff, like a lot of people have done. And then Just, so I started off from there doing it as a side business. I had an Etsy shop that honestly was kind of top secret behind the scenes from my day-to-day accounting world. And then
it wasn't on your LinkedIn profile, huh?
No, it was not in
just
my
kidding.
No. It was actually, I was always very nervous about it. And so it was more for fun at that point. And then had a little guy. He turned about 6-7 months old. My husband is a doctor and he was doing his fellowship and life just got crazy with his work and having a little guy. And so I decided that I wanted to keep working, but I needed something that was more flexible mm-hmm. and something that would allow me to, you know, use my creative outlet as well as also kind of really make a business out of it. So I decided to give this a go. So I left my job almost exactly a year ago and it's been a fun ride. So, I spent the first 6 months getting set up, kind of, you know, figuring out everything, how to run a stationery business, and then launched last May, actually, with starting to reach out to shops and all that.
Very cool. Looking back at the last 6 months of startup, like what would you say the most critical pieces were to getting things ramped up and ready to be your full-time gig?
I would say probably getting my products in order, you know, getting everything set up, figuring out who was not just getting the designs out of my head and onto actual products definitely took the longest time. And then from there, kind of all the details coming together, definitely, because I pretty much just taught myself everything along the way. So,
yeah. Absolutely. It's all those logistics, the technical stuff that I feel like hangs up a lot of people too, of like, okay, I know what I want to create, but how do I get it to market? And how do I make this a business? So how was your job as an accountant helpful? How has it helped you with your own business?
I think it's helped me tremendously. In fact, it was funny when I left, I had people say, well, do you regret going to college? You're a CPA and now you're doing something completely different. Did you waste all this time and money? And
oh my gosh, it was not wasted, but go on.
It was, so it's been incredibly valuable to me. So I think number one, the project management side of it, the organization, the knowing what I'm going to do every day, how I'm going to spend my time, how I'm going to get from point A to point B with each individual task is definitely helped. Also the finance side, you know, it's obviously something I'm very comfortable with. So I know a lot of people in this industry struggle with that because it's just not something they're used to. So yeah, that's definitely very nice for me that that really is quite honestly just second nature and not something I worry too much about. I'm much more worried and uncomfortable with some of the other aspects of it. But so it's no, I mean, and then just also I would say the communication, you know, I spent a lot of time with in the client service world working as an accountant. And so getting really comfortable talking to people, letting people know what the expectations are, setting clear expectations, and then also delivering on them, talking through the process, all of that has, you know, that's definitely been invaluable throughout this.
I love that advice because I think all of those things, they are things that creative artists struggle with. And I found myself even, you know, I have a marketing and business development background and I look at things differently than my creative artist friends, you know, and that was one of the reasons we started Tradeshow Bootcamp because I realized I was struggling with the art and the how to create my products and how to make them come to life. And they were just amazing, talented artists that struggled with some of the business aspects, the money, the business structure, the processes, the project management, all of that. So I think it's great that you're leveraging and acknowledging the benefits of having that corporate experience and how it's benefited you and your business. So what was the most difficult thing about transitioning to running a small business from the corporate world? Were there any things that were like, you know, hard for you to move forward with?
Yeah, I would say a couple of things. Definitely. So I went from a job that I knew every day what I was doing, number one, right? I knew where I needed to be, what I needed to do. I also was really good at that job by the time I was done with it. And so to leave that and go into this area of, I guess, discomfort, if you will, and not mm-hmm. really know every day what I, you know, how I was going to tackle the tasks in front of me has mm-hmm. probably been the biggest change for me. The other thing I would say is just the ups and downs of a small business. You know, I can have today can be the best day in the world and I can have, you know, a lot of great sales and interactions and have some really great news. And then tomorrow I can feel like, you know, I'm just the worst person in this industry and I have no idea what I'm doing. So definitely those two things are things that I've had to learn to deal with over the past year.
How do you combat those? It's not even combating, but like it's a personal, how do you deal with those ups and downs from a personal level? Obviously, how you deal with it is going to be different than maybe how I deal with it. But like, how do you cope with the ups and downs and like not letting yourself get frustrated or that cutting that negative self-talk, I guess?
Yeah. So I like to try and look at it as that my biggest competition is myself, right? That there's enough people in this industry and in this world that we all can, there's room for everyone if you make a good product and you have something that resonates with people. So with that in mind, I kind of can talk myself out of some of the the bad and the good because yeah. it just kind of take a step back on a bad day and look at all the good as well. Know that what I need, learn from it, step back, learn from it, say, this is just today, you know, yesterday this happened or, you know, and it was better and all that. So, but it does take a lot of self-reflection and the ability to step back and look at it from a bigger picture. You can't focus just on today. You know, you have to look at the last few months and also give yourself a little bit of a break. And, you know, I keep reminding myself, like, I just launched my business, truly launched it 6 months ago. And so I need to remind myself that when, you know, something doesn't go as I expect or something like that.
Yeah. I love about giving ourselves break, cutting ourselves slack. I think that's so incredibly important. The other thing too that I keep finding, I keep telling myself and coaching clients is we need to celebrate the successes that we're having right now. I feel like we're in this constant hustle of getting to that next milestone, getting to that next big thing that we're trying to do, that next release, that next show, whatever it is that we as an individual company are striving for. And sometimes in that, sometimes in that hustle for the next thing, we forget to celebrate what we've accomplished along the way. We forget to stop and recognize, yeah, that we've made progress, you know? I don't know. So I like you, that you said that. Do you take time to reflect on the successes you've had?
I try. Actually, my sister-in-law is very good at that. And she often will send me little notes when it's been, you know, when I had a big win or something like that, which has been really nice just to say, I want you to take a break here and look at this and think about it, which has been a good reminder for me. It's a nice little thing to get in the mail.
Yeah, I love that. I love that she does that for you. I want to start doing that for others too. That's great. You previously told me that you that being in a state of discomfort for you is where we as individuals learn and grow. Can you expand upon that?
Yeah. So I think I'm a firm believer that you only grow and you only learn when you're uncomfortable. Because I think when you're comfortable, no matter what you're doing in life, it's just status quo. You know, things are good. And so you aren't challenged. When you're challenged, you're forced to learn when mm-hmm. you're challenged. And for me, that's a big thing. And so from this business standpoint, for example, I've learned over the past 6 months that I hate marketing. I really do not enjoy marketing. It's not something that I'm good at. And forcing myself to do it, forcing myself to Instagram, forcing myself to learn how to create a catalog and go through that process to put myself out there, to send letters to shops and do all of that stuff. It's this level of, I think really what it is it's a level of, I can be a pretty private person. And all of a sudden now I'm a one woman show in this business, and this business represents me, and I have to show myself in it. And, and so that is a place of discomfort for me. So learning to kind of put that all together and come across as a business, a company that represents, you know, the values I want to represent, which ultimately have a lot to do with me.
Yeah.
Getting that is uncomfortable. And so being okay with putting myself out there and all that. And I think it's taught me a lot. It's taught me a lot about opening up. It's taught me a lot about, you know, finding what that balance is, finding where I'm comfortable with it, challenging myself on that front, and then kind of, you know, figuring it out as I go. I don't have to look, my level of comfort with something doesn't have to look like somebody else's, but where is that level for me?
Yes. Where is that level? So, okay. Two things came to mind as I was listening to you talk. One, there's the whole like creating your brand story. And I don't mean to sound so technical, but like how much of ourselves are we going to ingrain in our business, especially when we're a small business that's one person. Really, our business is us. The company values, right. The core values that we base our decisions on, that is driven by us as the owner. And so as you're kind of creating with those values and what your mission for your company and your brand story is, it does take a lot of reflection of yourself of how much do I want to share and how much do I want to interject myself into this. So how are you making those decisions there? And then I have a follow-up question for the technical side of those things.
Yeah. So I think on that question, it's really case by case. You know, it's every time I'm making new products, every time I'm choosing to do a marketing campaign or all of that. It's just, what am I comfortable with right now? You know, and I think what I'm comfortable with right now is probably going to be different than something I'm comfortable with in 6 months or a year. It's really just taking it time, not trying to look too far in the future, which the type A personality in me is, that's hard.
I feel you, girl.
but just trying to take it step by step and one thing at a time.
Cool. Yeah. The second piece of that is I work with a lot of people that are one person shops, and I'm trying to get them to peel back some of the responsibilities and delegate where they can, even if it's like outsourcing a very isolated piece of what they're doing. And so I wonder for you, where the catalog is a stressor for you, or like social media scheduling and planning and what am I going to say is a stressor for you. Have you ever considered outsourcing any of that, or are you still just trying to keep it real small and, you know, lean and mean, basically?
Yeah. So I think right now my mentality is I have the time to do it. So I, from a economic standpoint, I should figure it out. That is my mentality. But I am in complete agreement that when the time comes that I don't have time for it, for me, marketing and social media is going to be the first thing that I delegate. Yeah. And I know that.
Well, and that's super powerful for you to know, like as this grows and the time becomes less, you know, less available, and maybe it frees up more money for things like, this is where I want to outsource. I think a lot of people are just like, I don't know what to give up. I don't, you know, one, I don't want to give up control, or two, I don't know what to give to somebody else. And so it's fun to hear you talk about it from the standpoint of like, I know this is what I'm going to give to somebody else at some point down the road. And I like too that you talk about time versus money, because I feel like those are assets that all of us as small business owners, we grapple with, you know, like we don't always have a ton of time or a ton of money. And so how do we, you know, balance the different right. needs in our business and what we should keep on our plate as a CEO and what we should maybe find help with. But hiring help is not for everyone, especially from the start. I think we do have to go through that process of learning it and figuring it out on our own before we bring somebody else in to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you talked a little bit about being a one-woman show and some of the strains of that. Like, what is something you've done in the last year to really stretch your business, which may have felt uncomfortable for you?
I would definitely, going back to the marketing, I would say the most uncomfortable I have been has really been on the marketing side. You know, it's putting myself out there, reaching out to, so I focused first on 100 shops. So I did a ton of research, decided I was going to focus on 100 shops to focus on and really just try and make them see my business the way I see it, do targeted outreach towards them. And that has been, you know, like I said before, it feels very personal in doing that. They don't know who I am. They've never heard of me and all that. So actually, when I was at New York Now this past summer, I had another person tell me like the idea of someone needs to hear your brand 3 times before they really know who you are and they kind of start to respect you. And I think that that has, I like that kind of mentality. And I think that that really has started to prove true here for me. And mm-hmm. and so, you know, that definitely has stretched me because it's forcing me to say, okay, reaching out once isn't enough, but you have to make sure every time you're reaching out with valuable information to them and that it's worth their while and you're not wasting their time and you're not being annoying and all of those things. So,
oh yeah.
Finding that balance and finding that marketing plan going forward has definitely been a stretch for me. And the biggest challenge, you know, the logistics of putting products together and all of that and designing and all that, that has not been where I would say my biggest challenges are, because While that's a lot of logistics, going back to my project management skills and from my previous life, that stuff kind of comes much more naturally to me.
Yeah, it's more really systematic. It's more, yes, exactly. You can see the steps that need to be taken. Whereas with marketing, it could be as much or as little as you want it to be, you know,
right.
And you can set up your plan any which way. So going back to that whole, you heard that, you know, people have to hear your message 3 times before they start to recognize and remember who you are. Do you feel like that gave you permission then to widen what you were doing or to reach out to people repeatedly? Or like, it seems like that gave you a little bit of relief and that you didn't feel like you were bothering people as much. Is that true? Or did I just...
Yeah, I think it's just more like finding what that balance is, you know, like I think it emboldened me to say, okay, so sending them a catalog is step one, but then what, you know, mm-hmm. Where do you go from there? How do you make sure they know you again? And, you know, that, and whether, you know, the next time I reached out was letting them know that I was going to New York Now for the first time and different things like that.
Yeah.
And now I'll be doing a winter release and they'll, you know, find out about that. So just like finding that path forward and having a marketing plan, I think has been, and how I make sure that I'm constantly, you know, constantly might be a strong word, consistently getting mm-hmm. in front of them and on a regular basis so that they know me. And I definitely think I've learned too that marketing is an interesting beast. I yes. think it's all over the place. You know, I had some people respond to my mailers right away. Like I'm talking, you know, the next day I've had people respond to them. I just got an order this week from a mailer I sent in July.
Wow.
And
months
so,
later.
Months later. And then I have other people, when I was at New York Now, I had one store who I sent a very nice mailer to. It was actually one of my, I kind of picked and chose like which, how, what I was going to put in each, you know, mailer that I sent uh-huh. and picked a few target stores. And this was one of them. And they walked into my booth at New York Now and it said they'd never heard of me, which is crazy. But then they placed a huge order and it's all been great since. So, you know, it's just... Marketing is an interesting beast. And I think it's something that for me is always going to be a challenge just because yeah. it's like you said before, it's not systematic. That other stuff is much more systematic. And that is something I'm much more comfortable with as a person. So figuring yeah. out that balance has been a kind of just, you know, it's been interesting. Let's say that.
Oh, for sure. Well, it's interesting. I've been very much in like a study mode of marketing this past year. And I think that you can build systems around marketing and you should at some point build systems around marketing. Not you, but the general you.
Yeah.
But I think one of the tricky things about marketing that I continue to relearn over and over is you can quantify things within marketing, but it is such a throw things to the wall, see what sticks, keep testing, tweaking, testing again. Like it's never like find your rhythm, find your system, and then set it and forget it. You know, like that's just all you need. It's constantly reiterating what you're doing and changing things for, you know, the different ways that we can communicate with people. So yeah, it's not a one and done type of thing. We're constantly tweaking and refining and testing and, oh, this worked this time. Let's try it again next time, you know, but yeah, it's hard. Okay, so you just mentioned that you did New York Now in the summer, and I know that this winter you are exhibiting at Atlanta and the National Stationery Show. In general, what criteria do you use for your particular business to decide whether or not to exhibit at a show?
Yeah, so my mindset with the shows has been that I personally believe you need to do them in order to get in front of buyers. Too, when I think about, at least for me personally, I have felt that to get in front of buyers, to let them know who I am, I need to at least do a couple so that people start to know who I am. It doesn't necessarily mean, I know there are plenty of people out there who go to every single show and all of that, and I definitely have not committed to that yet. But for me right now, I think that, you know, once I sent the mailers out and I've done that type of marketing, and honestly, that marketing was very successful. So I had I got 12 out of 100 mailers. I got 12 stores out of 100. So it's 12% return, which in my mind, from a marketing standpoint, was, you know, I was happy with that percentage.
Yeah, that's great.
And so that started it, but then it was, okay, well, what's next? And I think the shows kind of take that to the next, okay, well, now people start to know who you are. They need to see you in, you know, out in the world, if you will.
Yeah.
And then go from there. And so I think the shows are, I know there's a lot of different opinions about shows. They're expensive and time consuming and overwhelming and all of that. But I will say, I think that for me, at least right now, doing them is allowing me people to know about my business and allowing me to just be kind of out there in the marketplace.
Yeah. And I think you are in a testing mode of like figuring out where you fit into the market and also which geographic shows are best for you. I like that you did New York Now and now you're doing stationery and you're doing Atlanta, because those bring in very different buyers. Every show has a different mix of vendors exhibiting as well as different buyers that attend. And so it's giving you more visibility. And I just think it's really good. I mean, I know it's an expensive way to like test different markets and things like that, but I do think it'll give you a lot of great return in terms of visibility and orders and exposure to different audiences as well.
Yeah.
So in general, do you feel like you are quick to make decisions for your business, or are you slower, more methodical in your decision making?
I would definitely say I'm quick to make decisions. That being said, there are times, I would say in life, I make very fast decisions. With the business, I have tried to slow down a little bit and make sure that they're thoughtful as much as I can. But at the same time, yes, I would say overall, my personality is very decisive.
Yeah, get it done. I come from that school of thought too, but I know that all of us are so different. And some people, you know, they really want to like analyze things from all different sides before they make a decision. And I wondered if your background lended that to a more analytical mind, or, you know, take quick action, tweak if we need to, change things as we go. So,
yeah, I would say, I mean, I am analytical, but I make my decisions pretty quickly. I mean, I think through it. I definitely don't overthink very often.
Yeah.
If we need to tweak later, we tweak later. Especially, you know, in the small business world, I think if I spend too much time thinking about it, I won't do it. And so that's kind of the big thing there for me.
I love that. I agree with you. I think that sometimes overanalyzing things, overthinking things can lead to paralysis, right? Like, I don't know. I like to, you know, one thing I say, paper camp and stuff is like, done is better than perfect. Let's get it out in the world and see what happens. And that's not to say we don't want to do a good job as we're getting it out into the world the first time. But at the same time, we can hold ourselves up if we continue to overthink it or continue to tweak it until it's just right or just perfect in our own minds. So I agree. Like, let's get stuff out in the world and see what happens and then go from there. So, I mean, I'm super impressed with you. You mentioned you started this business in a more formal capacity a year ago, but you said it's really been 6 months. And now you've done shows, you're selling wholesale to shops. Do you have an online shop as well for retail side?
Yep.
So you're doing a lot of things. You also have a young child at home still. How are you making times? Like, are you blocking off time for work and time for family? Like, how are you? I don't want to say balancing it all, because I know from my personal experience, I don't feel like I'm balancing anything well. But how are you being intentional with your time so that you're allocating time to the retail side of your business, the wholesale side of your business, and family time?
So generally speaking, so I'm a huge planner. So I have a calendar on my wall for the entire season where I'm planning out just by week. So this week I need to get done X, Y, and Z. Next week I need to get done those. So I try from a balancing standpoint to not look at anything on a day-to-day basis, but really to look at things more on a week perspective, from a week perspective.
Okay.
Which has helped me a lot from a balancing, so that if I, you know, have a sick child today or something comes up and I cannot do what I was planning on today, I just, you know, I'll do it tomorrow or the next day and I make sure it gets done. That's probably my biggest piece of advice for balancing is that to look at things and, you know, weekly instead of daily. But then also from a daily perspective, I'm very methodical with my time and how I spend it. I make sure that I'm done by a certain time every day so that I can pick up my little guy and all that type of stuff and make dinner and do all those things. And I mean, one of the reasons I left my accounting job was because I wanted more time with him. So I actually, my little guy still goes to daycare and he does all those things. But now I just make sure that when he's home, that I am really spending time with him. And so I make sure that while he's at daycare, I'm not just doing this work, but I'm also getting done all the tasks around our house as well. So that for those couple hours in the evenings and on the weekends, my attention is all on him.
I love that. And you talked about planning and looking week at weeks versus the days. Really enjoyed that. I'm curious to know, when you are creating your like master plans, how far out are you planning? Are you looking at a whole year at a time? Are you looking at, you know, per quarter at a time? Like, when you sit down to do planning for yourself, what does that look like?
I'm looking at it by quarter and then by just kind of what's going on. So for example, right now, knowing that the shows are coming up in January and February, I started in October making those plans for each week to say, okay, this is what I need to do to get to, you know, Atlanta being in the beginning of January. Mm-hmm. And I actually planned through February just so that I could kind of get myself through both shows at that point in time.
Yep. But
that way, just the tasks ahead, you know, planning, because that also doesn't include just the shows. It includes winter releases and all that stuff as well that need to go along with those. So it's not so overwhelming, you know, so that the list is not as daunting when, okay, all I need to do this week is X, Y, and Z, and then I'm going to do, you know, the next task next week. For me, if I get that all down, I'm not worried about, oh, well, what about, you know, catalogs or something random that that comes up in your mind when you're thinking about a show. You can just add it to another week later on down the road. And you know that, okay, well, no, I'm going to do that in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever that is.
I have found that when I have a checklist of all the things, like cumulative, all the things that need to get done for a specific project, it lessens my stress because I know, okay, like you said, you can map out when it needs to get done and you can look ahead. If things need to shift a week or two, you know that's okay because you've got the buffer of time. I just feel more organized when I have all of that too. I love that you shared that. Thank you so much. What advice do you have for others that are up and coming product makers? Not necessarily stationary, but just anyone making physical products.
I think I would say, so one of my favorite quotes is, don't quit your daydream. And I think that is true here. So my biggest piece of advice is make sure the time is right for you, but just do it. You know, go out there, focus on, go after what you want to do. Know that it's not going to be easy. Know that there's going to be a lot of ups and downs associated with it, but that at the end of the day, you're doing what you want to do. And that's what matters the most. You got to make sure you know, that financially you're able to do it and all of those things. You don't want to put yourself in a rough situation there, but but just do it. I think there's so much paralysis that exists among creative people at times. And so many people have so many great ideas and finding ways to, you know, half the battle of bringing those to life is just having the courage to go forward with it.
Absolutely. I love that. Where can people find you online if they want to check out your products or follow you on social media?
All my stuff is Karina Paper Co. So my website is karinapaperco.com, and then all of my handles are Karina Paper Co. So Pinterest, Instagram, and Facebook.
Awesome. Emily, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Hey friends, if you weren't able to join us for the Paper Camp conference, I have good news. Our Paper Camp e-course, the online version, is now open for enrollment. This course will help you get your product line ready for wholesale, refine your sales tools, strengthen your marketing, and help you exhibit at trade shows if that's where you want to take your business next. Now, this isn't your ordinary online course where you're left to do everything yourself. Our Paper Camp e-course runs for 4 weeks, and each and every week you'll have a live group coaching call with me and special guest experts. Classes start on March 18th, so to register, head on over to tradeshowcamp.com and click on Paper Camp e-course. I'll also include the link here in our show notes.
Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.